In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Amen. Again, this morning we are delighted that you're here. Today, of course, our emphasis is always on the need of getting the gospel to Jesus, or getting the gospel to those who are in need of Jesus. And today I think around, or look around our community and see how important it is that we capture that message. But not only that, but I look at the conditions of our world, and we all have to admit that our world certainly needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, I'm glad that you're here today. I hope you're glad to be here. It's always a joy to be able to come to God's house on a Sunday morning and enjoy this service. About 2 years ago, my wife and I were heading to Sacramento on Interstate 80, and as we're making our way out, we came upon a major auto accident. I mean, it was bad. And the traffic was at a standstill. And we're just sitting there just kind of waiting. And we're, of course, you know, everyone is always on a time schedule like we were. And so we're wondering, how long is this going to be? How long is this going to be? And then as I came up, I looked off to the left, and I saw it was a mangled of cars. And CHP was there. And I work with CHP as a chaplain, and so I kind of pulled over and asked. I said, "Hey, you guys need any help?" And they said, "Yeah, come on over." And they kind of stopped traffic, you know, on the other side, in the other area, and they brought me over. And inside the car was a lady who was trapped inside, and she was screaming and yelling out of fear, obviously. And they said, if you can calm her down, we're trying to do the best we can to get her out. And she kept saying, "Help me, help me, help me." And I said, "I am, ma'am. We're trying to do all that we can." And what I was trying to do is just calm her down just a little bit. They were working on it, had the jaws of life. They were cutting her out. I mean, it was quite a horrific scene. And And, you know, other family, they already been taken. How's my other family? And she was really, really upset. And you know, I'm just trying to talk to her and help her get calmed down. And she seemed to be okay. I mean, she was just upset. She really didn't seem to be physically hurt. And we finally got her cut out. We got her out of the car. And we sat her down on the side of the road where the ambulance pulled up. And she said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You see, because she was in such great need, and she knew she couldn't help herself. And, you know, I was thinking about that in reference to where people are spiritually. There's a lot of people that are just like her, and they're crying out for help. They're looking for some help. You know, and maybe they've tried other things in the world and found that those are not helping them at all. They are trying to get some kind of help, and so they're in despair, and they're just, you know, absolutely empty inside. They have nothing they can look forward to. Life for them seems to be so meaningless and without purpose. Now, I was thinking about this lady here who was in this. This is not the lady, but I was thinking about a lady who's sitting on the side of the road who had really for her, she did not know where her family was. She did not know the condition of everything that was going on around her. She was rather in shock, if you would. And I was thinking about how many people are in shock to this world. And because of that, they are living in need. And here is a group, as a missionary is working, they're crying out, and here's a missionary working to try to help people with their spiritual needs. It's that emptiness inside. It's that God-sized hole that seems to be inside of so many. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just like that. Perhaps maybe you come here and you're trying to find answers. And you might be like that person who just is empty inside. You've had it all. You've had the pleasures of this world, but yet there's a lack of peace. There's something that is empty inside your life. Or maybe there might be for a Christian this morning, you might be a person who is someone's coming to. And they're trying to get help from you, and you know that as you're trying to answer their questions, and you're trying to answer what their need is. Maybe you're looking for other things, but let me tell you what they're really crying out for is they're crying out for Jesus Christ. It's a funny thing to me how many times people are asking for Jesus, and yet they don't realize what they're asking for, and sometimes we don't either. I remember I was called to a scene at a suicide. A 43-year-old lady had committed suicide in her home, and I was called to the scene. I arrived on the scene there. When I got there, I was escorted inside the home by the coroner officer, and they said, "You just do your thing," and so I do. And so I went in, and I sat and talked to the mother, and the mother said, "Can I talk with you in private?" And so we slipped outside. And as we were talking, she was going through, you know, kind of a little bit about the person's life and what was going on and everything else. And of course, as she's telling me, she said something that was rather startling for me. She said, you know, she said, "We never went to church. We never cared about the Bible. We really didn't care about any spiritual upbringing or religious upbringing." She said, "I didn't have any concern about that." She said, "But can I tell you, quite honestly today, I need the Lord." That was her words. She said, maybe that emptiness inside can only be filled by Him. Now, buddy, she preached it, didn't she? And, you know, there are people who you come in contact with, that's where they are. They're empty inside. They do not have any hope. They do not have any comfort. They do not have any peace. And as you're here this morning, I pray that God will help every one of us to realize that the work of missions and what we're doing and impacting the world with the gospel of Christ, it's not just that which a missionary does, it's that which all of us can be a part of. That all of us can do that. That we can share what God has done for us, we can tell others. And that's the most important thing this side of heaven that we can do. I was thinking about so many people today who are like that, and maybe you're here this morning with that emptiness inside. And perhaps you're looking for ways in which to get that filled. And you have found that everything seems to be empty in your life. But let me tell you, Jesus fills everything for you. He can fill it all. I do believe this. I believe that when a person begins to seek after the Lord, God will show himself to them. I love that verse, and there's the principle in Matthew chapter number 7 where it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you realize what God is saying? You ask, you seek, you knock, God will supply. And today, as we focus our attention on this area of missions, I want to call your attention to a chapter in the Bible where there was a group of people, they were seeking help. They were looking for something. They wanted some help. And through God, the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the Apostle Paul, God led this great prophet, or rather great apostle and teacher and missionary, God led him to this group of people. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'm reading verses 6 through 11. I just want to call your attention to this section in the Bible, because what this really does is teach us a powerful lesson about the power of missions and the power of the church. You see, years ago when I went to a town and started a church, I remember that I had some guys in town who didn't understand anything about church work came to me and said something like this: "Hey, preacher, you know what you really need?" I said, "What's that?" I said, "You need some big people in the church." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" "Well, you need some big, important people. You know, like, you need this person, that person." And I'm like, "Really?" I said, "That's amazing. You know what I really think we need?" And he didn't know what to say to this. "I think we need a big God in our church. Let God do the work." You see, the power of the church is not the people. The power of the church is not our personality or our money. The power of the church is the Holy Spirit. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6. I want you to see how God the Holy Spirit is working powerfully in this church. And by the way, that's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit of God will work powerfully in this church. And notice what he says. "And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now, this Asia refers to Asia Minor. And the area of Galatia, it is not Asia as in the Orient. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit mentioned here, "suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And when he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis." In the passage, we see that the power of missions, the power of the church, and what God is saying to us is that the power behind missions is the Holy Spirit. And by the way, today, I want you to keep in mind that that's always been the plan of God, is to use the Holy Spirit in the church. It's a really sad thing when we as a church, we've kind of eliminated the Holy Spirit out of the equation. I mean, when missions was first introduced, for example, in Acts chapter 13, And we could go and look at that. We'll look at that maybe perhaps another time. But you could go and you read the passage. It says it's the Holy Spirit that worked in that church to call men out and to work in men's lives and to really literally send men out into the world with the gospel of Christ. And what God is saying today is that for us as a church, that what we need to realize is it's a work of the Holy Spirit through missions, that God uses missionaries to go to countries where people are crying out for the need, and God is addressing that need by sending someone there with the gospel. That's mission in its core. That's the bottom line of missions. And by the way, that just as that is important, also keep this in mind, that the work of missions locally is important through you as well. That God, the Holy Spirit, can work in your life just like He did in the life of the missionary. But this passage of Scripture is a very significant passage. Let me show you something really interesting in this passage. The Bible says here that through Paul's call to go into Macedonia, that was in the western part of the world. And as God has led him there, it is through that area that it's the gospel ultimately ended up in Europe, and then through Europe it came to America. And by the way, because of Paul's obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, you and I today are privileged to sit in a church where we heard the word of God through the yieldedness of the Apostle Paul. It was a key turning point in history for the gospel. And do you realize that for you and I, when we look at missions around the world, it could be a key turning point in the history of this world that we could get the gospel to a lost and dying world, either here in our own town or around the world, and certainly that's what God wants for us. I don't know if you realize how powerful that is. It's very, very important. And so Paul responded to the Holy Spirit. This means that the growth, this means that the development of the church and the work of the church is always directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This means that we become burdened about others, and the Holy Spirit will place that burden in our heart. I read the story about David Brainerd, and maybe some of you have heard of David Brainerd. I read about his life, and David Brainerd, who won many thousands of Native American Indians to Christ, he said this: "I care not where or how I lived or what hardships I went through so that I could but gain souls for Christ. While I was asleep, I dreamed of these things. And when I awoke, it was the first thought I had, the thought of this great work." The work is reaching others. He's not the only. There's others. I read about David Livingstone. He's the first man to take the gospel into the interior of Africa. And here's what he said. He said, "I must open a way to the interior or I perish." It was die, do or die. He caught the vision. He heard the Africans crying, "Come over and help us." Then I read about others. I read about, for example, I read about J. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. He says, "I feel as though I cannot live if something is not done for China." And then we read on and we read about others. One more. Here is William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Here's what he says. He says, "Oh God, what can I say? Souls, souls, souls. My heart hungers for souls." You see, William Booth here reflects what should be the heart of anyone who really has a burden for missions, anyone who has a sensitivity to the work of the Holy Spirit, anyone who understands what God is wanting to do through us and the missions around the world. May I remind you of this, that the work of a missionary is not just their work, it is our work. This is a work of God, and God should be burdening our hearts, and we need to be yielding to the Holy Spirit of God as He leads us. I was thinking about our world is so driven by money, but can I remind you of a few things? Number one, money can buy a house, but it cannot buy a home. Money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money can buy a clock, but it cannot buy time. Money can buy a book, but it cannot buy brains. Money can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy position, but it cannot buy respect. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy people, but it cannot buy friends. Money can buy insurance, but it cannot buy safety. Money can buy amusements, but it cannot buy happiness. Money can buy religion, but it cannot buy salvation. Money can buy a good life, but it cannot buy an eternal life. Money can buy a crucifix, but it cannot buy a Savior. And money can buy a passport to anywhere but heaven. You see, what we need is we need Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can really make the difference. Jesus is the one that once we realize the goodness and the greatness we have in the Savior, once we realize what He did for us, He satisfies our every need. I was thinking just this past week and just meditating on some of the scriptures about missions and what God's called people to do. And I was thinking about, you know, right here where we are in the Solano County area, this is a huge mission field. We're around people who really have no concept of what I'm talking about. They have no idea about Jesus Christ. They don't realize that Jesus came 2,000 years ago and that He died on the cross for our sins and that He was buried, then He rose again the third day. They don't understand that. They don't understand the fact that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They think of it as religion. And by the way, religion is man word. Jesus Christ is a relationship. That's the only way a man can go to heaven. Amen and amen. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ made it possible for everyone to go to heaven. And I want everyone to know about that. You see, they're in darkness today, and I want people to know that Jesus Christ can bring the light of the gospel in their hearts and can shine and illuminate their understanding as they accept Christ as their personal Savior. And not only that, but I'm burdened about the fact that we as a church family, and I'm speaking about our church, that I'm afraid that we might be losing a little bit of our burden for the lost, and I don't want to do that. We need to be burdened about that. We need to understand that because, honestly, godly believers recognize the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their life to respond to the cry of the needy. As the world cries out for God, we must do something to help them. I'm thinking of the teenager, maybe the adult, who perhaps maybe we're sitting here and we've avoided it, but maybe God is speaking to your heart about going to the mission field. I remember several years ago when we've had people sitting right where you are and God began to work in their heart and God called them to go to the mission field. And to the mission fields, and some of them are, they're serving in different places around the world because God had burdened their heart. You see, God calls people. He works in our lives. And godly people who are in tune with God understand this work of missions is not just for the missionary, but is for every one of us. Maybe if we, in this room, though, maybe God hasn't called us to go, but God may be saying, you know, we need to prioritize our schedule to be a local missionary. We need to be burdened about that. We need to set aside some time that we can be a part of the missions program of our church locally. Maybe next Saturday, for example. Next Saturday would be a good opportunity for you to come out and put tracts on doors. You say, but Saturday's my sleeping day. Jesus died for us. Can't we give Him one day? Can't we do something for Him sometime? Can't we just kind of set aside some time and say, you know, I'm going to get up. I want to go put some tracks on doors. I want people to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. And we will gather for that. And what God may be speaking to our hearts about is perhaps maybe about making a commitment today to prioritizing missions in your life. Maybe it could be about finances. Maybe it could be about your prayer life. And we're going to be trying to be more expose you more to who our missionaries are so you can understand that. You see, the bottom line is this. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I read about a Native American Indian one time that was in the streets of New York City. He was walking with a friend, and they were walking down right in the heart of town. And if you've ever been to New York City, you know it's a very noisy place. I mean, there's the trains and taxis and horns and music and everything else. And they were walking along, and the Native American Indian turned to his friend and said these words. He says, "I hear a cricket." Now, his friend had no idea what he's talking about. How in the world can you hear a cricket in the midst of all this noise? And he said, "I do hear a cricket. Let me show you." They walked down two blocks, went across the street, and went to a plant that was in front of a motel. He lifted up some branches under the motel, and there was a cricket. And his friend said, "How in the world could you hear a cricket two blocks away like that?" He said, "Because I was listening for it." And you know what? I really believe that God is trying to speak to some Christians today, and we're not listening. We're not in tune with Him. We're not in tune with what He wants to do. Now, here's what I'd like for us to do. And if our ushers, they should have some cards ready, and I want them to bring them forward in just a minute. And here's what I want us to do. I want all of us to take a card. I want you to look at this card, okay? Come on, guys. Let's go ahead and bring them on down, please. And if you would, just kind of turn this way when you get here in the front. I'd like for every person to have this card, if you would, please. Make sure and take it. And this card is going to challenge us with something. Okay, guys, if you could just kind of pass it on. I want everybody to have one. Guys got them up here. And take the card when you get it. And I want you to look at it for a moment. And on one side of the card is an explanation of what we would like for us to understand about this area of local missions. And the other side has three lines. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Make sure we all get one. And on the one side of the card where it says step one, step two, we're going to call these VIP cards. And on the VIP cards, it says step one is to visualize someone coming to church that you know. I'm thinking about maybe that person that you work with. Maybe that neighbor that's next door to you that you know you see regularly on a regular basis. It could be maybe a family member that you have regular contact with, or maybe a buddy that you grew up with and you just, you know, you've always been kind of burdened about them. I want you to visualize in your mind, I want you to see them coming to church. Second of all, I want you to invite them in step number two, to invite them. Now, this October, starting in October 5, we are having a mission series. It's called God is Big Enough. And on the back of the card is each of those messages. Those messages entitled, like, God is Big Enough to Conquer My Sins. How many agree that God is big enough to conquer my sins? He is, isn't he? Thank God for that. Second, God is big enough to heal my disease. Thirdly, God is big enough to remove my doubts. Fourthly, God is big enough to see me through the storm. All four messages. These messages are intended to help people that you have contact with. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to begin to pray, God, who is it that you would burden my heart about? Holy Spirit of God, would you speak to me about three people, and on the other side is a place for you to write their names. Maybe right now, just as I'm speaking, you might think of someone right off the top of your head. Maybe God has just laid them on your heart. Maybe it could be someone that maybe you think of two people, maybe three people. It could be that maybe you're going to go home a little bit and later and think about somebody. But here's what I'd like for you to do. Write their names down on those lines. Keep the card. And I'd like for you to begin to pray for these three people every day. Every day through October. I want to challenge you with that, because here's what I believe. When we begin to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, when we become sensitive to the work of God in our life, the Holy Spirit of God, as He begins to melt us in our hearts for people, we'll understand the real work of missions. That's what missionaries are doing. That's why they come here. That's why they come to share their burden with you. And certainly a part of that is raising finances so they can go. But a huge part of that is the burden God has placed on their heart. And we can understand that. So if everyone would take this card, stick it in your Bible, where you're reading, and write down three names and begin to pray every day. And ask God to allow you the opportunity to see these people come and get saved. Now, all you can do is invite them. If they don't come, then that's not on you. But you do what you can to do everything possible to pray for them, invite them, and remind them about that. We have cards in the lobby. You can grab one of those God's Big Enough cards and take those with you and use those to hand out to your friends. See, missions is God's work. The Holy Spirit is a powerful moving of God. And what God is saying to us, God, he wants us to say, God, whatever you would have me to do, that's my part. That's what I want to do. Since it's the Holy Spirit that fuels the power of the church, wouldn't it be great if we could have our people become very aware of the moving of the Holy Spirit? I think it'd be an awesome thing that if people could respond to that, if the Holy Spirit could so speak to us that we could hear the people crying out to the needs, their needs, cry. They're crying out to us. And it may be that it would be through somebody like a neighbor come to you and say, hey, look, I'm having some issues. I'm having some family problems. What do you think I can do? Where can I get some help? Jesus can give them help. What can I do to help my children? They're going through some hard times. What can I do? Jesus can help. What an opportunity we have in this society. And by the way, this society is not friendly. It's a rough world we're living in right now. And Jesus Christ can make all the difference in the world. You see, as godly believers are led by the Holy Spirit to respond to the cry of the needy, here's something I found. The more we respond, the more God brings. The more we become sensitive to the Spirit of God, the more God will bring to us. You see, that's the power. That's what's going to make all the difference in the world. And may God help us today to take this message and let it change our life. Heavenly Father,